Mr. Adam, how are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic, Jack. Great to hear you and see you again this evening.
Boy, it's only been a matter of a couple hours, hasn't it?
That's it. It's like we never have to leave each other with this wonderful technology we're all part of these days, Jack. It's like we're always there.
Boy, you know, as a kid, technology's come a long way. As a kid, I remember friends with the boy two doors down. He was my same age, same grade. He was just there was one house between us. And I remember in the summertime, we used to set up these little tin cans with string. And we'd string those, you know, we'd string the cans connecting the two houses. And we'd talk to each other like a walkie-talkie. And I remember it now, how many years later? 70 years later. And boy, it sounded crystal clear then. I wonder what it sounded like really.
Now, wait a minute. Was there a special kind of string or rope you had to use, Jack, in order
the stuff they used to, at the time, tie little grocery boxes, not grocery boxes, but, you know, donut boxes or.
Right. Yeah, sure. That's that white string. Sure. Okay.
You just string it and you could hear.
But it had to be a tin can. Is that right? It had to be a tin can?
Right. Right.
There's some science behind that.
All you did was knot it in the hole. And that was it. Maybe we were just talking loud and we could hear it in between the houses. I don't know.
That's what it was. The houses weren't too far apart. That was part of it too, right?
That's right.
So yeah,
that was my first brush with technology, and I never gained too much beyond that.
Well, again, that accomplished the goal, right? And so you go from that. Well, there was tremendous progress, Jack. If you fast forward like 10, 15 years, you got the party lines, right? Or
that's right.
On the line, sharing lines, right? I mean, now, how'd that work? Was that a certain number of houses on the block? Was it a certain street? Or how'd they
I don't know. I have no idea how they did. I don't know. But that used to be a lot of fun. You know, the first fun was trying to figure out who's on your party line because it wasn't always that obvious.
Right.
So the way you did that, you had to listen in on their conversations.
So you kind of lurk.
Then you learn the sounds of the phone being picked up, so people would the more savvy ones would figure out who was trying to listen on their calls. Jack, is that you?
Like, they can hear you, they hear you breathing on the side. I think that's Jack's breathing on that. I distinctly can tell that's him, right?
No idea how they knew.
So that
they knew.
That was original. When, you know, when you look now, you got a lot of folks that are creepers and lurkers on social media. So that's where it started. It all started back in the party lines. Folks
that's
doing
right.
That stuff. Okay.
And you had a different kind of community setting too. So all of a sudden my mother and father would hear that I was on the party line. What are you doing on the party line? You know, all that kind of stuff.
I'm checking out the girl down the street. Leave me alone, right? See what she's doing. See if she likes me or not, right? That's usually what it's all about.
But yeah, that was, I don't know how many there are. I think there were maybe four sharing one line.
Okay.
And yeah, you'd pick up the phone, somebody would be talking, so you couldn't make your call.
Right.
Yeah,
so, hey, you guys done yet?
That's it.
We got a very important call to make. And then, you know, you go from that to where all of a sudden we had all the long distance calls, right? Or the overseas calls.
How many times
over days, you know, did your assistant say, "Hey, sorry, Jack can't talk right now. He's on a long distance call. He's on an overseas call."
They go, waiting for the operator, waiting for the overseas operator.
Right. So yeah, is that the kind of technology we're talking about that we're using today, Jack? Is that, you know, how would things be so different today if that was the case? If that was all the technology that we had. How different would it be, right?
Boy, somebody would probably figure out the screen. There's probably better material the string. Probably better material than the string. But the metal can, I don't know what the what the process would be. There'd be a lot of cars driving around with string extensions, wouldn't there? It'd be a tough world.
Yes, there would. Yes, there would. We'd really be connected in a whole different way, Jack, right? A whole different way.
Oh, man, yes. But
it's a good visual to keep in mind because, you know, I think to your point, part of what you're saying here, Jack, is part of the technology today is built on many of those same basic building blocks. It's just now where those strings were actual strings you could see, now all of a sudden they're wireless strings, right? It's
kind of just referring, that's right.
All over the place. So...
I was looking up types of technology. You know, there's seven types of technology, six types of technology. Six. I'm not going to ask if you could try to guess them, but I'll give you one. Information technology.
Okay.
Education technology, that's two. Medical technology, that's three. Communication technology. Now we're getting into advertising and PR and one of those kind of discussions.
Right.
Business technology. And assistive technology.
Okay.
Those are the six.
And we're on the business? We had business and...
Yeah, business assistive. Assistive.
Yeah, assistive. Okay. Yeah.
What is assistive? I don't know that word.
Well, it could be anything related if somebody has some sort of disability per se, right?
Okay.
That'd be my guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's probably what it is. But yeah, those are the ones. And now here's the definition of technology. It has evolved and shaped our workplaces in many ways. Well, we know that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Through the adoption of tools like the internet and email for communications, word processing, spreadsheets, and presentations for office productivity. We know what those are. Mm-hmm. Electronic databases for record keeping and robots. Not bots.
One of your favorite.
And artificial intelligence for automation. That's technology. That's the definition of technology.
Okay.
It's all the stuff we use. That's wired in and we don't understand.
That's always a good catch-all word, Jack. Stuff. Stuff never goes out of style.
So yeah, you refer to it as technology and everyone nods their head and knows what they're talking about, but they don't really know. They just know it's a bunch of stuff that moves voices and moves things and moves, relatively speaking, creates miracles. You know, look back 50, 100 years. 100 years is a better gauge. Feel like freaking miracles. Unbelievable, the stuff that can be done now. And it's only getting better.
Well, I see it when I talk to my 94-year-old grandmother, who was amazed that a friend of hers is sitting on her couch texting to her daughter, who's over in London. She's my grandmother's 94, grew up during the Depression. She's amazed. You know, I said, how's it different from her texting somebody down, let's say Atlanta, right? And she said, well, it's going over the Atlantic Ocean. I said, okay. I said, in her world growing up, you know, if somebody went off to war, let's say, well, they were gone for several years. You didn't see them. You probably didn't talk to them. Maybe you wrote some letters to them, perhaps, right? But you certainly didn't see them, or you certainly couldn't be in real-time communication with them unless you were somebody who was a commanding officer or something like that, but certainly not as a civilian to be, you know, to have that kind of connectivity and that touch. And so, you know, she's been amazed by that, Jack, to your point, in terms of she's lived through so much in terms of what's happened in this last century. And I think for many of us, it might feel like these last 8 or 10 weeks have been a tremendous drinking from the fire hose when it comes to technology, Jack. You know, we've all been forced to learn some new things, to create some new words. You know, I think if I were to go up to a female a couple months ago and ask her if she wanted to Zoom with me, I probably got smacked in the face, right?
That's probably right.
Whereas now they know exactly what you're talking about, right? That's because people have been Zooming. They've been on GoToMeetings. They've been on Microsoft Teams and WebEx and you know, you name it. But we're all learning different technologies from, you know, the ways to stay connected, ways to keep doing business and keep operating. And so it's been a challenge, I think, for many of us. But I think it's also been a lot of positive discoveries too. That's part of what we wanted to kind of cover, I think, in today's show, as we were talking about this, Jack, in terms of just things that we're seeing and the different perspectives that you and I have, right? To your point, you know, you being in your 70s, but being very active in business in terms of what's going on, your take on this stuff. You know, me, you know, being 47, I'm kind of right in the middle between, you know, the boomer generation and the millennials, and trying to bridge that gap, what kind of goes on, and just some of my experiences with that. And just kind of talk through a little bit kind of what we're seeing, what we like, what we don't like, maybe some of the opportunities there. I think a lot of folks can probably relate to this, Jack, in terms of what they've been kind of seeing, kind of going through. So
things seem to have slowed down a bit, which is vital, I think, to certainly absorbing and then letting it be digested and then comes back out again. You get more participants, and the more participants, as chaotic and clumsy it may be, the better the advancements, because more ideas are generated. But, you know, things like Facebook and Twitter and you know, they've stopped changing. They've stopped changing for enough time where a guy like me might start to pick it up. You know, I do it, but you know my stories, how my stories always result in unique one of the time, first time ever. And I never thought I'd be the first person ever to experience something in the world. But I know that all the messages I get when I get on that computer, those are first in the world messages.
Yeah.
It stops my progress, you know? You start out and here's a message. What does it mean? In language that I don't mean, and it's all in English. So I don't understand it. So, but that's the confusing part of technology. If I have a good partner like I do with you, we can muddle through it pretty much. And if it gets over your head, then we got to talk to the experts. Or even things like, what the heck's the Geek Squad? They sure bailed me out of situations from time to time. And YouTube, you know, you can usually find somebody who's run into the same problem somewhere down the line. And a lot of information and help available. But it still doesn't come fast enough, Adam. It's moving at a fast pace.
Well, it is. I think what's interesting is I think the technology has probably come a long way. And I think many of us were kind of aware of it, you know, on the edges. You know, it was always, you know, people would ask about, hey, let's set up a GoToMeeting, let's set up a Zoom call, let's set up, you know, whatever, right? And it seemed to be like they were kind of weirdos almost, right? Like, who's doing that? Let's just get together, you know, let's either have a phone call or let's get together and meet in person, right? Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's have a breakfast or lunch, or just in-person stuff. I mean, the way our minds were working, they were kind of towards that. But but what's happened now is now that we're all forced, you know, forced inside, we're forced to get away from each other, we're having to start to use this technology. I think what I've been very pleased with or very surprised by, Jack, is the user-friendliness of many of these tools.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And, that's a big deal.
Well, so as we know, whether it be technology or business or life, you name it, anything you do to try to make things simple is so difficult to do. So difficult to do. And, you know, to your point, as you get onto some of these technologies, you know, even if it's just going onto your computer, you often have these messages coming at you and buttons coming up. And just like it can be very overwhelming, you know, as far as what to kind of focus on and how to even get onto stuff, right? And so what's been fun with this is I have gained a tremendous, tremendous appreciation, Jack, for technical support. Okay. I know we've all complained in some form or fashion over the years, whether it be, hey, I call customer support, technical support, and I call and I get this person who's got some accent from somewhere else around the world, so I can barely even understand what they're saying when they are talking to me in English. But then we start trying to talk about what's going on, right? And so I try to explain what I'm seeing to the person on the phone, and I'm using my vocabulary, which is probably pretty limited as it relates to technology, as I'm trying to explain to him or her what I'm seeing, and that person's trying to figure out what I'm talking about. So I've had a lot of those experiences now as I've been called in for technical support with many folks who are older trying to use some of this technology, right? And it's fun. When we first started doing the Zoom stuff, you know, a few months back, we spent several hours kind of going through it.
Right.
It's good. As much as I try to get prepared for it and I try things out and I try to push different buttons, you always find new buttons to push.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
I'm not seeing things that you're seeing, or you're seeing things that I see, but I don't click on it. It's just, yeah. But what's been good about it is we've gone through this many times. We've talked about, like, hey, let's just Zoom. Let's kind of Zoom and let's share our screens. And so we can kind of see what's going on. And it's amazing how all of a sudden you can visually see it. How all of a sudden
that's a big factor.
Break down. Yeah, tremendously. We're going to say, okay, I see what's kind of going on. And so it's been a lot of fun from that standpoint to kind of see, again, for something like Zoom, you know, keep using that as an example, it's very relatively easy to use, really simple to use. Can still be very complex, very intimidating for many folks. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's, but it's good to see some of the adoption starting to happen. So I think as we get into some of these things, you know, I think there's some very, very good uses for this stuff and ways we're starting to kind of think about not only our business, but I think all the folks we talk to, Jack, in terms of what they're doing with their businesses, in terms of how do you adopt the technology?
Yeah, look at the effect that's had now with the virus going around. People being forced to work at home. And now that the curtain's being lifted somewhat, companies are making policies that people have to continue working at home. And there's just a big demand for it. Why? Because it's easy, it's comfortable, it's less expensive, not only for the individual, but the company. So it's a multi-win situation. And you can, you know, have the pandemic.
Yep.
Pandemic. Thank you.
Got it.
You can have that and still people can stay connected and what is at least the current thinking and stay connected in a safe manner. I mean, for Easter, you know, you really couldn't go out. You couldn't gather this kind of stuff. So everyone had a drink and we had 15 people, you know, over the house on Easter. But they weren't right. over the house. They were on the, you know, and that's so neat, you know, that just is. Everyone was smiling and happy to be part of it, you know. And you didn't have all the not big negatives, but negatives enough with family events and unwinding them. And you could just, okay, toast and chat a little bit, smile, tell a few jokes, and that's it. Worked out perfect.
Well, it's funny.
Little things like that are, you know, the business applications are going to be huge. They are already, and they're just beginning.
Well, you're talking about how there's a lot of very positives with folks working remotely. And, you know, as you know, I mean, that's been a battle for people for years, Jack, right? In terms of, hey, if somebody's not here and I can't see them, I can't tell if they're working or not, right? And they starting to realize, and you talk to people. I was at an event last week where one owner of a staffing company talked about how they've been investing in technology over the years to kind of get themselves up to speed. He said, but he was shocked that his people have doubled their productivity in the last 2 months in terms of what was kind of going on. And so they're starting to discover new ways that people can work and be more efficient. Is that they're being more efficient? Maybe they're saving time from commuting is one thing. I think a big part of that too is I think, you know, many folks are finally starting to transition, Jack, away from that 8-to-5 mentality to realize that, you know what? It is kind of 24/7, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that it's 24/7. It's a matter of how does it fit into your life. That's something that I grew up with. It was always that way, you know, with an entrepreneur. It was kind of always 24/7, and you would kind of select what you did. And so just to start to now use this technology to your advantage, not only make you more productive, but to help enhance what you're doing, enhance your life. But I think one of the negatives to that, to working from home, and I think many folks relate to this too, is you've got now all of a sudden you've got multiple people working or schooling from home. And what does that look like? And all of a sudden we're trying to balance different bandwidth because, you know, the house or apartment wasn't necessarily set up the way the office was to plan for a number of people being on, you know, high speed internet at the same time. So how do you balance those things and make sure that you've got your Zoom call at a different time than your spouse does or that your kid does, right? So you aren't all of a sudden getting knocked off or things are happening or things are slowing down. And so, you know, we start to, you know, so the question, do you adjust for those kind of things? At your point, if you're looking to do things longer term, okay, we, you know, this is okay for a few months, but is it sustainable beyond that? And what kind of changes do you maybe need to make? And do you want to make those kind of changes? I think a lot of people are starting to look at that.
We're pretty innovative in this country. Actually, the world, when you open it up, is pretty innovative. Now, we've come a long way with my two tin cans and the white string. That innovation just doesn't appear. Well, I guess it does. It shows its face with somebody looking at ways of doing things today and new ways keep coming into different minds. It's absolutely fascinating to see how progress goes. Now, over the next 100 years, my God, you know, the pace at change again is going to be fast. And try to blend social into that, you know, social into business. My God, the world changes are going to be just phenomenal. You know, we should, where we are paying attention pretty much to technology as fast and as much as we can. But boy, oh boy, the pace, the changing of the world is going to be unbelievable. I like to think way for the better. I like to think that.
Yeah, it's just, it starts with that mind shift. And you and I have talked about that mind shift a lot, Jack. It's still, it's trying to rewire our brains that are somewhat hardwired in certain ways, right? In terms of just, you know, like I said before, where it's thinking about how things have been and a lot of things in person. Okay, so it makes you think about, well, what really needs to be in person? You start to kind of think about that. You know, does this really need to be an in-person thing, or is it better to do it this way, to do a quick call? I'm curious, though, in terms of, you know, as you're looking to adopt some of these things and see some of the changes that you're talking about, you know, do you see some challenges with this? Are there things that are frustrating for you, or maybe that were surprising for you? Like, surprise could be good or bad, but, you know, that as we've been kind of put into this world, you know, what things are you seeing, Jack, as an older man in business here? Because I know many of our listeners are in the same boat as you are, and they laugh when I tell them you can be tech support for them now because you've gotten pretty good at this stuff. But, you know, what are you seeing?
Oh, boy. Well, you know me. I like to look far ahead. I'm a Star Trekkie, not a first grade Star Trekkie. But I love some of the thoughts and situations that Gene Roddenberry, who writes, you know, most of the, I think all of them, really. Tremendous futurist. Basically with things like you got robots coming up with such tremendous intelligence that, you know, you look at interracial marriage, at least I lived through that years ago with the changes and the laws and the protests, and you're going to have human and robots be able to come together. And, you know, there's shows, there's episodes that show this and talk about it. And my God, you know, that's, you know, kind of wacky since most people don't think that far out and those, they aren't enamored with futuristic situations. But work as we know it, and just in my lifetime, I've seen it, starting with the hand typewriters, you know, that's how you type letters, and carbon paper that had 8 sheets or 6 sheets, or they got too many, the last couple of sheets wouldn't, you know, run through, so your letter couldn't, you know, be distributed, things like that. Radios, you know, your television, you're subject to just 3 channels, and radios would be structured where, you know, you had to have a radio like that, and so many of them were big. The business side of technology has developed into tremendous efficiencies. First of all, it seemed to attack the manufacturing, the industrial segment, blue collar workers. That's where the term came from, working in factories and the like, and being replaced with machines. And I remember the conversations back then when, oh boy, you know, we have a very efficient operation and a lot of changes are going to be made, but they'll never do it to the white collar groups. Well, sure enough, come the white collar groups, you know, where
here it comes, right?
Instant communication, instant filing, instant access to data worldwide. There's even settling bets. It changes the culture in ways that you just can't even imagine, and many times you don't even realize. You could be out having a couple of beers with a buddy and you make a statement about an event that happened in maybe baseball 25 years ago. And your beer kind of fuels the intensity of the discussion. So you pull out your phone and you look up 25 years from now and you answer the question right there. People can't bullshit anymore. and you get instant results, you know?
Wait, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is you're right.
So boy, that's a very good question.
It's taken away some of the storytelling, right? and the recollection and the ability for us to debate, right, and discuss things and get emotional, not get upset at each other, or not hold grudges, right?
That's right. You know, and that's kind of a fun thing to see and be part of, but it can be frustrating too. It depends. Now, when you look at kids being born today, they won't have that baggage. It's not baggage as much as the time you're on Earth in different decades. So depending on how long you live. And the changes are fantastic. And as you look back just 50 years ago, the changes are unbelievable. So many changes. And it's just getting revved up. Going to be an interesting world, to say the least.
Well, it's funny when you're talking about the transition, Jack, in the blue collar world with robots replacing a lot of the people side and the white collar not thinking about it. You ever see that movie Hidden Figures? It was based on the launch to the moon. It had Kevin Costner in it. It was about NASA and a couple of the young black women that were in there that were doing stuff. It was highlighted. In any case, I don't know if you've seen it, but they talked about the gals that were in the pool were known as computers. That's what they were called. They were computers. I said, what? I'm like, wait a minute. Like, okay. Well, that's where the term came from. The idea of computer. They were literally computing all these numbers. They're there with the old style calculator type stuff, cranking through some numbers.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And so one of the gals who was featured was a gal who was very mechanically inclined. And so, she goes in and sees this huge room that's just filled with this. I think it's like the first, thing of IBM computer, right? That I'm sure each of our cell phones has a million times the capacity of this computer, right? But she goes in there and sees it. It's like, holy cow, we need to figure this stuff out because our job's going away. This thing's taking our jobs away, right? And so she figured out how to program the thing, got the thing working. All the engineers were shocked. They didn't know, who are you, right? And things started working, right? So she could see that future. She could see things that were changing and starting to embrace that. Because, I think you're right. I think too many of us are so head down, focused on what's in front of us, doing what we know how to do. And I think we gain comfort from that. And as we know, Jack, from people's styles, come back to DISC, people don't like change. Most people don't like change at all. The D's like changing, but D's like change where they're the ones, affecting and
doing
choosing.
The changing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But when it's forced upon them, I mean, nobody likes the changes, right? And so I think many of us had time to kind of sit back, analyze some stuff, think about, test some different things. And you know what? It's not as bad as I think maybe we feared, in terms of what's kind of going on. And so it's been fun to see some of the evolution, as you get beyond things like Zoom and GoToMeeting and that. I attended an event last week that used a different tool called Remo, R-E-M-O. And if you check out remo.co, you'll see it was designed to be one of these where you go and see a panel talk, but they also had some networking as part of it. And so this thing had the ability to not only have the group watch the panel, but then break you up into groups of tables of six people, where you'd be now, instead of a group of 100 people, it'd be just six of you talking about what's kind of going on. And I could move from one table to another. And so had a feel of a networking event, which is the first time I've experienced that digitally, but it was kind of neat. But to your point, Jack, you mentioned like for Easter or family celebrations, I was pictured, hey, picture this happening for a family reunion where, hey, we don't all need to travel to the same place. We can set up a euchre table over here and a crafts table over here for the kids. And we set up the old ladies over here to do some knitting and wherever it might be, we can just, set things up and have people have some fun, kind of mess around doing different things. And so I think your point, if we start to not forget about the old ways, but not be held back by those and start to look. And to me, this has become tremendously freeing in terms of just what's out there. Cause I think they said a lot of this technology has been there. It's been percolating under the surface for a while. And it's taken this pandemic to push it over the edge where we say, okay, well, now I don't have a choice. I've got to find a way to connect with people and try to do some different things where I used to do it physically. Now I got to do it in a different way. And I think I've been surprised by seeing the tools that are there and how easy and user-friendly most of them are. So that's been, to me, it's taken away a lot of the fear and anxiety of having to do this stuff. And it's given me confidence. We're all sitting here. I'm the tech support guy, Jack, but I'm not I'm not that guy, but now I'm that guy. Okay. Well, I'm not the geek squad. I plan to be the geek squad, but from this stuff, this is easy enough to use or simple enough to use where I'm like, okay, that's an okay role for me. I'm really enjoying it. It's fun to kind of teach it and learn and see what's happening and try some new things. So it's been kind of cool. I think if we start to embrace it that way and look at what positives it can have, because again, things are starting to open back up now.
And well, socially, they're usually accepted in mass on the social platform. Now, keep in mind, this is today's progress. These are things that are coming into play today in 2020. The world is advancing with the robots. I got to say bots, not butts.
Say whatever you want. We know what you mean.
But truck so, with a bunch of balloons went on. Oh, yeah.
That's okay. So you got the robots coming in. Go ahead. You're getting distracted.
I got distracted by a parade of high school.
Here's what happens as part of the technology, right? So instead of us being in the studio, we're in our houses on Zoom doing this. And so you got a graduation parade going by.
People that's what's by. Going on. Yeah. Perfect. That's what they're doing.
Unplanned, Jack. Perfect for technology, right? Isn't that a wonderful thing?
That's exactly right. I forgot my train of thought. We were talking. We always project the future. Not always, not all of us, but most, probably 95%. Always project when planning or thinking about the future. They always take a version of what's today. So understand in 10 years, certainly 25 years, pretty much everything you're using today, like we're discovering Zoom. Zoom will be an ancient artifact in 25 years. It'll be silent, and we can't, you can argue it because nobody knows, other than the fact that the way things are moving, they'll continue to move. They'll continue to have sophisticated machinery and that can think for itself and runs 24/7, and jobs as we know it are not going to be needed for the most part. And how are you gonna handle societal problems? And it's great to think about. It's very stimulating. It really is. And it makes an exciting world full of change. Being a D, I love to see that change. So yeah, what do you do? How do you embrace it? That's the key. And so far it's been it's been very acceptable, very user friendly.
All right, let me challenge one thing you said. I think what you said, most of it, I agree wholeheartedly with. But the one part you said Zoom will be an afterthought. And I disagree with that. Here's why, okay? And if you go back to Google, now this is back in my days when I was in Wall Street when Google was first kind of coming out in the mid to late 90s. And Googling all of a sudden became a verb, right? People start talking about, hey, I'm going to Google you, all right? I'm going to Google this. I'm like, okay. It became a verb. Zoom is zooming. Zooming's become a verb now, Jack. So it's kind of like Kleenex, right? And same thing. All of a sudden, it's become that brand.
Xerox.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah. Great example. Okay, so people will be talking about Zooming now. Whether Zoom's still around or not, or if it exists as it is, who knows? 25 years from now, but I can almost guarantee you, people will still be talking about Zooming because it's become a verb now, as opposed to we aren't go to meeting or we aren't teaming or we aren't WebExing, right? But we're Zooming, and I think most people, so I think that might stick.
These are debatable because the solution to Zooming and its major enhancement that'll maybe never obsolete it totally, but for the most part have competing products that'll make it almost obsolete. They haven't been invented yet, but they will be. Look at would you have guessed 20 years ago what's going to happen to the airline industry? How are they going to react? How are they going to change? What will planes be like 50 years from now? Right. You think they'll still be big tubes flying around like that?
No. Yeah.
they got to enhance the Zoom product to have the experience even better. So electronic virtual goggles, things that connect you and let you entertain in ways that we don't even know yet. Right. They're going to obsolete so many, or you don't have to travel.
Right. You're right. That's so, part of it, people are comfortable with that and realizing that, hey, it's okay to be here. And to your point, if I can experience it virtually, going back to your Star Trek days, you talk about all the time where the brain is fine. It's the body that gets in the way, in terms of what's kind of going on, right? So, yeah, if you can stimulate the brain and know how to do that, your brain doesn't know that you're not climbing Mount Everest to a certain extent, right?
That's right. You don't need jobs. You don't need jobs the way we've grown up. The 9-to-5 pattern is going to go away. It's got to go away. It just doesn't make any sense now with remote working and people's freedoms. They've always wanted to be free and flexible. Now they're going to get it, and you work 24/7. It's your leisure. It's your times. And how do we fit society for that? But all the solutions to what our big problems are really right around the corner here in time. 100 years from now, not a long time, that everything's going to be remade.
That's right. So if I'm going to come full circle here, Jack, going back to your point about the tin cans, 70 years ago.
And that's right.
Somebody talked to you and said, look, you realize in a few decades, you're not only going to be able to have a tin can, but you'll be able to sit in your house and look at somebody down at that other house. What are you talking about, right? And it'll all be done without wires. Like what? Somebody can walk around and again. Fathom it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, just like we're talking today, right. We can't fathom the world 50 years from now. We can talk about it, and then it'll be talked about in things that you can prove out pretty much, or touch, or see. But to really just totally annihilate products and customs and everything. We don't know which ones will be right for that and which ones will go and how they'd be replaced.
Wow, you're right. It's a definite shift, though, Jack. I mean, if you look back at the shift that the internet created, you know, just in the last 20 years in terms of how that happened, and people were fighting that for a while. And many who were fought it are no longer around. And, you know, your point about Zoom, I agree. If you look at Google, what Google was back in the day, it was just a search engine. They've evolved tremendously in the last 20 years, right, in terms of what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they're still making things happen. But I think what's good about this is much like when Netscape Went Public and Google started coming up, where people started, okay, the internet became a real thing, and people were able to start to use it and start to make it happen. These things like video conferencing, Jack, it's become a real thing. I mean, to your point, it's not just business; it's become people's life, you know, and their friends and their family. You know, whether you know having family events or having you know cocktail hour with your friends or whatever it might be, all of a sudden we're able to kind of be connected that way. So to me, I think we'll look back 15, 20 years from now and say, hey, that was that shift right there. All of a sudden now, it really became that global economy. It really became that 24/7 thing. It really became that we could truly be anywhere in the world and do what we're doing, as opposed to having to be tied down to a certain location too. That's very freeing. It could be also very intimidating.
Sure it can.
Because yeah. You know, as we've talked about before, you know, you got the two extremes in life. You can be in prison where you have tremendously limited choices, right? Or you can be, you know, a billionaire like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, you name it. They've got unlimited choices. And so now we all of a sudden go from being very limited in terms of how we're thinking about stuff, because again, we're thinking about the physical part and being here and not necessarily utilizing as much technology, to where also now I can do so many different things from my house, right? Okay, and do them well and connect to people all, you know, around the world. And to me, like I said, I think we'll look back on this time and realize that this was a tremendous shift. And it happened quickly because the technology was there already. And then I think we'll now see, to your point, Jack, a speeding up of this stuff as people say, hey, I've been using this thing now more. We need to add this. We need to add that. And I was reading an article with Facebook earlier this week talking about that, how they're having all their people work remotely. And their plan is in 10 years from now to have pretty much everybody work remotely, for at least for the most part, and how they're going to be developing those tools to help to how do we capture some of the things that you have from being in person? How do we capture that and do it in a technological world? And so we'll have some of the best minds working on this stuff, Jack, that creates some of these things. And I think we're going to see some very quick advances in terms of, I don't know, it'll probably be very Star Trek-like. I don't know if I could beam to you or not. I don't know, but it's probably going to be pretty darn close.
It's going to be faster than you think. Right.
All right.
You know? I agree. Try to imagine the country, the world without needing jobs. And look at all the time. Look at all the time people would have to do other things, and how could that be turned into usefulness? It's almost impossible to comprehend that. It's almost impossible to comprehend not having to do a job, but everything's moving in that direction. And if we get our political stuff in order, chances are we have solutions to feed the homeless and put a roof over their head in some way or another that's dignified and affordable, and it can be done. Robots and technology, however one defines technology. I just gave you six types, of which we couldn't define those if we spent all night. Or maybe we could, I don't know. But the change is going to be monstrous and not all good.
No, but I think more good than not good. I think it's like,
I would agree.
Like many forced changes, Jack, it's one of those things that's been taking a while. If I go back to your old black book that you had scribbles in for your date book and contacts, and when you finally got your first smartphone, right? Your Palm, was it a Palm Trio we got you? I think it was what it was.
Right. Or, yeah. Right?
Okay. So going back, that was what, 10 years ago, and how things have changed in the last 10 years. But yeah, that was something that you probably could have done 10 years earlier, but you were holding on to it until it was so difficult to hold on to it. You're like, okay. And then finally you get done. You're like, Why'd you have me wait so long for this? I'm like, right.
That's how it is, isn't it?
Right. So I think that's a good message for people, Jack, is hey, that's, you know, there's going to be good and bad, but most, I think probably more good, but start to embrace and think about what can this do and to free things up, and maybe some things you've been struggling with in the past or recent past that you haven't been able to figure out. Maybe you start to add that technology piece to it in terms of how do I utilize technology to make this idea come to life or make it become a reality. And you may start to see some of the freeing up of that and say, hey, there's some good positive things going on here.
I agree, Adam. That's the world we live in is a spinning top here. It's really spinning big time. Not only geographically. What's the driving force that spins the earth? Whatever.
Gravity?
Is that what spins the earth? I don't know.
You're asking all these scientific questions with non-scientific.
Well, we'll have to do a scientific discussion.
We'll have to check. Yeah, we'll have our show people check that out. Take a look.
We'll have to do this again, Adam. We've got a lot of ground to cover in technology.
Yeah, this seemed like a good thing to kind of talk about because it's been something that's been, you know, we've seen a lot. We've been trying some new things in these last couple months. And I thought it'd be good for people to hear about it because I think they're struggling with the same things or seeing some of the same things. And maybe they are, you know, give them a chance to free up and try some new things with technology and really start to embrace it, not avoiding it. Really, you know, technology can be our friend, can be very helpful in many, many ways.
And correct, though.
Know that. So, all right. Well, I think that's our show for today. Thank you guys for listening to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. If it's your first time, welcome. Glad you're here. If you've been a longtime listener, appreciate that. And feel free to share it with those who you think would enjoy it. Lots of ways to do that. You can go to our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or go to our Facebook page. It's up there as well. Or better yet, you can go to your favorite podcast player, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, you name it. We're all those places. You can subscribe to it. It comes right to your phone or your smart device every week. You can also check us out at MaximumVP.com. That's our coaching business for Maximum Value Partners. And we love doing this show. I have a lot of fun with this show. Hopefully you're finding it helpful and enjoyable as well. And we'll see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.
We'll see you, Adam.
All right, Jack.